Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Anybody ever feel like that? You're like, man, kill me now, but don't take my phone. One of the things among many that we're going to talk about today is hearing God's voice. And man, it may be just as simple. In fact, somebody could just leave right after this. Take the headphones off and you'll be able to hear God more. I'm telling you right there. You ready? You want to go home? I can go home right now. I'm just kidding. How you guys doing? You guys good? You guys always look good, man. It is always amazing to see how you get so many awesome looking people in one place at one time. I don't know how you do it, man. It's good. It's good. All right. So we're going to have church today. I hope you came ready. I hope somebody needs to hear a word from God. Anybody need to hear something from God because you're in the right place. Yes. Amen. I see all those hands, but God knew them before you're going to put them up. So we're going to talk. Today we get to talk about Samuel. And Samuel was one of the like key figures in church history and in the formation of the nation of Israel. And he's just a good all-around dude. And so we're gonna look at his life and we're going to see how he lays his foundation, or how God uses the foundation that was laid before him, and God builds on that and uses this guy and the lessons he learned in his formative years to be a pivotal point person in Israel's history. Can we do that? So we'll look at the life of Samuel. We're going to talk about foundations. We're going to discover some things as hearing God's voice and God's plans about how government came into being, at least for the Israel nation, and how God wants to be with us personally. So again, why Samuel? Why do we talk about Samuel? You know, a lot of times, you know, churches are just so enamored with saying, man, we got to reach people where they're at. And here we don't often have time to go back and look at these heroes of the Old Testament. In fact, if you guys aren't reading the Old Testament, man, you're missing on something, because the Old Testament is completely full with like heroes, man. You want to talk about, you know, Avengers 2? Man, there are people that would beat Superman up. There are people that would beat, you know, Iron Man up back in the Old Testament. They are just like that incredible. And Samuel was one of them. And so we need to read about some other heroes too. All right? I know Superman wasn't in Avengers 2, so if anybody's going to get mad at me for being like, you know, not having my comics straight, forgive me. Okay. So why talk about Samuel? He's in the Bible, right? All Bible, good stuff. Anything that's in the Bible, God put it there for a reason, so we should probably know about it. He was the last judge of Israel, all right? There was a period called the Judges where they really didn't have a president. They didn't have a king yet. And so these men and women of God would come up for a time and they'd get themselves in trouble. Israel would sin and do something stupid, and then their enemies would come after them, and then God would raise up a judge. Like, you know, Samson was a judge. You ever heard of Samson? That was the original superhero right there, man. I mean, he was buff upon buff, right? Maybe. Some people think he was just kind of a normal dude. He didn't look real buff like somebody, some people. And I'm just kidding. I'm totally playing. But some people say Samson, I'm getting words Samson and Samuel mixed up. Samson was a judge of Israel. And some people say that Samson was big and buff, kind of like my brother right here. But some people say that he was probably more normal. And so when he did these incredible feats of strength, you know, and saved Israel, people were really amazed, right? To see, like, you know, somebody that weighs like 98 pounds, sopping wet, you know, tear off gates of a city and all this other stuff. Deborah was a judge, and she saved Israel. And Samuel was a judge. He was the last judge of Israel because he served a dual purpose. He was a judge, and he was a prophet and a priest, too. And so he was the last of the judges to save Israel. And then he put into place the monarchy, right? The king. He anointed the first two kings of Israel. Another good thing he did. Samuel was a type of Christ. He foreshadowed a lot of things that we know about the birth and the formative years of Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about those things, you'll go, oh man, I see that too. You'll see some similarities. If you are in family relationships, the book of Samuel talks a lot about, in the life of Samuel, talks a lot about how to have great family relationships and how to raise kids, how not to raise kids, political stuff, and then overall success, political stuff, political successes, political to do's, political knots. So Samuel accomplished what he did because of his foundation. He lived his life in beast mode. All right, say beast mode. He was the original beast mode dude, man. He made things happen. And so that's why we're going to study him, among all these other things. All right. So what we're going to do is realize, we're going to go back and study a little bit about Samuel's formative years, how he came about, what he spent his time doing when he was a little guy, when he was a toddler, and when he was a tween, and then how God built character in those days and then used him to be the man of God later. All right, you ready? You ready? We got a lot of scriptures to go through. All right, we good? We cool? All right. So we're going to talk about hearing God's voice, among many other things. So foundations. Let's talk about foundations. Everybody has a past, okay? It's kind of like an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion, right? So a past is something that you have. Some of you have good pasts, right? Your child years, your toddler years, you look back and you go, man, it was great times, man. The family was there. Friends were there. Some of you guys are going, dude, that is the opposite of my past. I had a horrible past. Good or bad or even other, your past is your past, and you can't go back and change the past. Are you with me? But God's going to use your past. Listen to me. Here's a word from God for somebody right now. God is going to use your past, even if it was horrible, even if it was bad, to make you the person of God God wants you to be today so that he can use you into the future. That's worth clapping for. All right? So get ready. This side was a little bit more clappy than that side. I'm just saying, it's not a competition, but maybe I'm just going to go over here a little bit. No, I'm just playing. All right, so your foundation is your foundation. Samuel's foundation was interesting. He was born into a very crazy time, into a tumultuous time. There were wars. There were nations rising up against other nations. There was just some interesting times. How about other people in the Bible that were born in interesting, tumultuous times, right? Moses, you guys remember the story of Moses, right? I mean, his time was so bad that king of Egypt said, we are going to kill all the babies because I do not want Moses to be born. That's some bad stuff. What about Jesus? Same thing happened, right? Herod said, man, I want all the babies to be killed. That's bad times, man. Bakersfield just is not that bad, okay? Some of you guys are going, man, Bakersfield's bad. It's not that bad, Jack, all right? Babies are born, babies live. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you guys may have had a bad past, and I don't want to make light of that, all right? But I do want to say you can't change it, so we're going to go on with it. We're going to talk about today, and at the end of service, we're going to give you a chance to pray with some of our prayer partners, and you could change your life. You can't change your past, but you could change your present, and you could be on to a phenomenal future. You're ready for it. If you're ready for it. So, you know, some people think, you know, man, today it's really rough. It's really not that rough, at least here in good old Baco, but a friend of mine called me last week. Actually, we were texting. He used to intern for me, and he was in Africa doing a mission trip last week. And in the middle of the night, some paramilitary people with weapons came in, and they took the whole village hostage. And they took all their money, and they took all of their everything. You know, talk about leaving your devices behind, right? They took all of their devices. They shot in the air. They shot on the ground just to intimidate, and they took everything. And so my friend, before they took his phone, was on the phone talking to his dad. He goes, it's the scariest thing ever to be on the phone with your dad, telling him that you may not see him ever again. And that's crazy. So it happens in the world today, right? He's okay. He's back. He's safe. But it was a scary, trying time. That does not happen in the United States that I know of, okay? It does happen in other countries. We need to pray for the countries. But things aren't just that bad here, okay? Back in the Bible times, it could have been rough. In Samuel's time, he was born in tumultuous times. Samuel was a miracle baby. He was born to a mom that had no children. She was barren before. She prayed a prayer and said, God, if you give me a baby, I will give him back to you. And so Samuel had a mom and a dad in another city, but because of a vow that his mom and dad made to God, he was raised in the temple. He was raised by a priest named Eli. He knew he had other parents. He was raised by people that weren't his own parents, and he did not complain about it that we know of, all right? I think there's a trend a lot of times I see that anything that's wrong with us in our lives, we want to blame other people. Well, I have anger issues because, you know, my parents abandoned me and I just need a pill. And I need, you know, right? I mean, we just, everything, you know, it seems like more and more things that go wrong with it. We discover like these diseases, and maybe it's a real disease, but like I heard one the other day, like restless leg syndrome, okay? Like for real, this is an advertisement on TV. Maybe I have it. I have restless everything syndrome, right? They used to call it ADD, ADHD. I don't know. I have all of them. And, you know, I chase squirrels. You guys know. We're just being real. The first service, I turned around and I like saw it. I'm like, oh, hey, look, that's the guy's name up there. It's squirrel, right? And so it's just all over the place. And that's, hey, good, bad, or other, you got me. That's the way it is, all right? We're just going to be family no matter what, okay? So just put up with me, please. I actually need to be down on the front row, and a lot of you guys can be up here preaching to me. You know what I'm saying? So if there's a squirrel, I'm going to find it. I'm going to chase it. And if they had a pill for that, I would take it and be done with it. But the point is that we just don't like to take responsibility for our actions. All right? And in the past, when you were, you know, a toddler or a kid or a baby or whatever, you may have had a bad past, and you may have had things happen to you that were not your problem, but you know what? They become your problem over time, and God wants to help you, and God will help you deal with those today. I'm telling you, a quick prayer up in the front with a man or woman of God will alleviate days or years of suffering. So just keep that in the back of your mind, because we're going to give you a chance to pray. To me, it all kind of boils down to the altar, man. What's going to happen? I mean, God's going to speak to your heart. He's going to use the words that I say, and maybe it won't even be the exact things that I say, but God's going to impact your heart. That's awesome. But what is even another layer of awesome is when you get to come down and have somebody else pray with you and go, God, give me a word from this person. They've been trained. And they've been empowered. Let me hear from you, from this other person. So please don't let that opportunity pass you by. We do it every week, by the way. So things are just too crowded down here. There's always another time. All right. And I see people praying even right now for what's going to happen later. So anyways, it's all good. So we are going to talk a little bit about what Samuel learned. We're going to learn the characteristics that Samuel had operating in his life. And then we'll look at a couple examples later about how he used them in his formative life at a later time. So we got quite a few verses to read. Could I do that? Could we just read? All right. If you guys got something you want to follow along, or if you don't, just look at the screen. All right. Because we just aim to please here, Valley Bible. We are here to serve. Okay. So we want to serve you by watching the screen. You can do that. A couple verses out of 1 Samuel chapter 2, and then switching over to Samuel chapter 3. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. I put that in there to tell you that Eli, when he was a child, served and was mentored by Eli the priest. We all need mentors in our lives, and without Eli, even though he had some good times in his life and he had some bad times, he was able to mentor Samuel and help him become the man of God he became. If you do not have a mentor in your life, please pray that God give you one. The thing about mentors is mentors don't always look around going, who may I mentor, right? But the person that is being mentored needs to be on the lookout and go, who can mentor me? It doesn't have to be a contract. You don't have to go, will you mentor me? Because I will follow thee if you mentor me. And then you say, sign here, and we'll meet together once a month. Man, you can get mentored by people that write books that you never met. You could get mentored by people that you just say, hey, man, can I buy you lunch? There are people, man, in your life that you need to look up to, that you need to do upward pursuits to. Look at somebody that has a marriage better than yours. Get time with that person. Look at somebody that has a career better than yours. Go, how can I get with that person? Look at somebody that's doing ministry or somebody that's running a small group. By the way, if you're not in a small group, it's time to get in a small group, because you can't do Christian life on your own. You need to have other brothers and sisters with you, okay? You need a mentor. All right. Everybody clapping right now is involved in a small group. So if you saw somebody clapping and you weren't clapping, then go talk to them and they're going to get you in their small group. Okay, cool? We got it? All right. We just need each other, okay? So Samuel was mentored by Eli. Verse 26, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. This is when Samuel was probably 3 to 4 years old. Okay, he had priestly responsibilities. He was being mentored by the main priest at that point and that time. Verse 1 of chapter 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. Lying down in the temple of the Lord. Samuel slept in the temple of the Lord. Not only was he given up by his parents, but he slept in the temple of the Lord. I wonder what kind of things would happen to us if we slept in the temple of the Lord. I mean, maybe that's actual, you know, for us today. I don't know if that really means we need to, like, bring our sleeping bags and, you know, come here. Maybe it does. You got to ask for other people's permission, not mine. I'm not the one that makes those decisions, all right? But it may mean something deeper. It may mean being in the presence of God. Or tell you what, here's a comparison. Samuel used to sleep in the temple. We fall asleep in front of the TV. Anybody? We're gonna keep going. Okay. I'm stepping on toes. Yeah, man. Take it. No, I'm stepping on my own too, okay? So there we go. So then, verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." So he went back and he lay down. Verse 6, again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." Verse 7, now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in the place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." Verse 15, Samuel lay down until the morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Verse 15, the Lord was with Samuel and he grew, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and then he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. That was a lot, but there is something about the word of God that translates into your heart. The word of God does not return void. It does what it's supposed to take. It does what it's supposed to do. And so just receive the word of the Lord. I want to point out a couple of things from that whole passage about Samuel's upbringing, which probably took place in the lifetime of Samuel from age 3 to 4 till he was about almost a teenager. Okay, so all those verses we read right there took up, you know, a decade or so. And I had to read all those together, and I want to make some comments about them, but I had to say that to lay the foundation, Samuel's foundation, because we're going to look at the character he built, and then we're going to look at the things he did later on. First of all, he heard the voice of God. He didn't know what it was at first, but he had to be instructed about what the voice of God sounded like. And so he went to Eli. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of fableize the word of God. You know, it's like we hear it so many times, or it's so, like, awesome that we just kind of put it into fairy tale mode. Our brains just kind of disengage. Maybe you don't, but somebody like me, I'm just like, you know, a squirrel. Like, you know, I kind of hear it and I go, oh, you know, we don't really put it in modern day situations. And so if your son or daughter came to you in the middle of the night and said, "Yeah, Dad, here I am." What are you going to do? Shut up and go back to bed. I didn't call you, right? Right? You with me? Am I the only one? Because I'm being transparent. That's exactly, I'm sure that has happened before, although I don't want to think too hard because then I'll have to say it has happened before. And then a second time, "Hey, Dad, you called me." "I did not call you. I have to get up early for work tomorrow," right? This is what would happen in modern day, right? And then a third time. And the third time is key because the third time is when I think Eli actually woke up. The first time is just like, I'll go back to bed. You know, I didn't say anything. Maybe I talked in my sleep. And the third time he's awake enough, he goes, okay, now I got it. Brain engaged. God is talking to the guy. So he tells him, and he utters the phrase that you and I need to know. "Here I am." Can we practice that together? "Here I am." That's all. Whenever God talks to you, that's the only words you need to hear. "Hey, I need you to do something." "Here I am." "Hey, I need you to go out to adopt a block. Will you do that?" "Here I am." See, I set you up and you got it right. "I need you to join a small group." Some of you guys be like, oh. It's all right. We'll take time. God's patient. We can be patient too. Whenever God has a tough assignment, whenever God has an easy assignment, whenever God has words to tell you and you don't even know it's an assignment, there's only one thing to say. Oh, you guys got it. Give yourself a hand. You passed the test. Here I am. VBF. Here I am. That's all you need to know, man. If you just keep saying, here I am, every time God says something, you will succeed. Bam. Pow. We can just go home again, all right? We need to hear God. Eli taught him the proper response. Here I am. He finally recognized it. My son, when he comes home from Sunday school, we'll drill both of our kids. We're like, how was Sunday school? How was church? What did you learn today? And so a couple weeks ago, he came home, and he had been talking about Samuel. And we said, well, what did you hear about Samuel? Well, Samuel got up, and he said, here I am, God. And we said, good, son, that's awesome. And my son said, well, but doesn't God know everything? I mean, why did Samuel have to say, here I am? God should know where he was at. Isn't that awesome? So what a teaching opportunity. So we got to talk, and we said, well, son, here's what it really means. We got to unpack it. I'm going to pray right now. Can I do this? I just feel like every parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, anybody that has anything to do with kids, I want to pray for you right now for teachable moments. God, teachable moments this week. Can we pray that, Father? Let it be teachable moments that we get to speak life and scripture and your word into the lives of kids. Let this week bring us opportunity to instruct a child on how to hear the voice of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh, the third thing that we could go home for right now, all right? Who put this table here? I keep tripping over it. All right. Second thing I want us to know is this. We need to obey and trust and act. When God speaks to us, we need to obey and trust and act. And those are kind of all, they're kind of all related, because when God gives you a word, you can either go, that is a good word. God, oh God, that's good. I ain't gonna do anything about it, but right? That's like, you know, as parents, hey son, I need to go take out the trash. Dad, you know what? That trash is foul smelling. And that is such a good word that you have told me to go take it out. You truly are a wise dad. You have wisdom beyond the ages, Dad. Oh, man, that makes sense. And it probably needs to be taken out now, because in biblical terms, it stinketh. What's Dad going to do? I said, you better get out that trash right now, right? God doesn't do that. God's patient. I don't know what that means to us. I mean, I do know. Ouch, I need to be more patient, because I'm usually the other one. Like, okay, I told you, now get to action, right? God lets us determine our own level of action. But I will tell you this. When God speaks to you today, he probably expects you to do something with it today. You guys are so on it. I love it. Yeah, because otherwise, God would say, hey, listen, I want you to, can you check your schedule? 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm going to give you a word in 2 weeks. Be ready for it. All right? Or he'll say, hey, I'm going to give you a word, and it really doesn't mean anything. You know, I'm God of the universe, you know, kind of important guy. And I'm going to give you a word, and you can just forget about it. It's fine. No, man, when he talks to you, we need to go, thank you, God, for that word. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't know what to do with it. Again, find a mentor. Find somebody in your life. Call one of our pastors. Come up here and pray. I bet there's people out there today that have had words given to you, and you just don't get it, or you've kept it on the shelf. You're like, God gave me this word when I was 5, and he told me to do this, and I will, but I haven't done anything with it. We need to get that into action, okay? So, we need to obey God, we need to trust God, and we need to act. When God speaks to you, there's somewhat of a timing already built into it, okay? When God speaks, obey today. Number 3, Samuel did not let any words fall to the ground. Or in some translations, it said, Samuel did not let any of God's words fail. All right? In fact, I want to go back, because there's a couple different meanings of that passage, and we'll put it on the screen here. Verse 19 says this, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. There's two meanings of that based on who you think he and his is. All right, when you read the Bible and something doesn't make sense, it's okay to press pause and go, I'm going to study this out, and I'm going to find some Bible study tools on the internet, or I'm going to go borrow some books from somebody. I'm going to find out what this means. A great place to start is commentaries, and it'll be different men of God throughout the ages that have said, here's what I think this means. And so when it says the Lord was with Samuel, and he grew up and let none of his words fall to the ground, whose words fell to the ground? Samuel's? Or did none of Samuel's words fall to the ground, or did none of God's words fall to the ground? I kind of see Samuel like this. Okay, God, give me a word. Give me a word, right? So he was young. He was probably 3 or 4 years old when he first heard the word of God in a powerful way. And so he probably knows the power of God's living and active word. And when you get a word from God, you got to act on it. Not because it's uncomfortable, but because it makes you more a man or woman of God, okay? So I saw Samuel kind of going, all right, God, come on, give me another word. I'm not going to let any of them fall to the ground. Oh, got that one. Ooh, God, come on, give it to me. Give me another word. Oh, got that one too. And he never let any of his words go, oh, God, I didn't really want to do that one. Been there, done that. Is there anybody that has had more words of God and caught them and done something with them and been crazy than Pastor Ron? That guy, I'm telling you, that guy hears from God. Are you with me? He hears, he does, he shares, he's better. I mean, the things that man has done, you know what I'm saying? You know he's got his catcher's glove on. He's like, God, give me another one. Bam, I got that. God, give me another one. Got that one. Man, I want to be like that. So you can say, Samuel never let a word of God fall to the ground. And I think that's right. But you can also say that God never let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. What does that mean? It means that God has got your back. It means that you may step out on a limb and you may go, I believe God is saying something. Every time I get up to speak and every time I prepare, I've got to pray. It takes me a minimum of 20 hours every time I speak because I want to get it right. And I want to hear from God, and I put it down on paper and I re-scratch it and I redraw it and I refit it and I do everything I can and I seek God and I read and I pray and I talk to others. I want to make sure I've got it right so that when I go out and I say, thus saith the Lord, or I say, God's got a word for you. I don't say that flippantly. I don't be like, hey, God's got a word for you and that thing. And no, man, I mean, God's got a word. God's told me. And if I know anything about God, when my heart is pure and I believe I'm speaking on behalf of God, God backs up the man of God. God backed up Samuel, and God did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That is good. So that should give you boldness. If somebody needs it and you're going, man, I think that's God. You know what? Some of you need to act out on a God hunch. Go for it. All right? Don't do anything stupid. Make sure it's scriptural, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if it's in question, you know, like, go ask a pastor, ask a friend, ask your small group. Okay, I've plugged them enough. So, but God does back you up when you do things for God. In fact, if you read 1 Samuel, just 1 Samuel, there's probably 75 or 80 specific things that Samuel speaks out in words of prophecy, in words of knowledge, that God backs up to a T. Because God did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And God will do the same to you. So they didn't let any of each other's words fall to the ground. And then, lastly, Samuel was faithful in serving Eli. He served Eli in the temple. His mom would come up once a year, bring him priestly clothes, little ephods, and he would wear like the clothes that a priest would wear, and he was ministering even as a young guy. God used him from a young age. He was mentored. And he was told when God was calling him. He loved the temple. He loved to be in the temple. Does that remind you of anybody else that we read about in Scripture? It does. Jesus. Jesus, when he was roughly the same age, I don't think he really ran away from home, but he found himself at home in the temple of God when he was traveling with Joseph and Mary, and they realized that they had lost the Son of God. You know, that's trouble. It's one thing to lose your kid, but if your kid is the Son of God, it's double trouble, okay? And so they left him in the temple, and Jesus in the temple, just like Samuel, they are attracted to the things of God. They're not falling asleep in front of the TV. They're falling asleep in front of the temple. They're not out playing video games on Friday night. They are seeing where God has them. They're talking to the priests in the temple. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with some, like, levity and some, you know, diversion and whatever else. I'm just saying, Samuel and Jesus are the example, and we certainly need to follow those examples. Because the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature. This is from 1 Samuel 26. The boy Samuel continued to grow in stature in the favor of the Lord and man. And then the sentence is almost identical to the statement in Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and divine and human favor, right? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God, favor with man. So we have a couple examples here, and so we're going to use the foundation that Samuel had laid, or that God had laid, that Samuel used as strength, and he built on it, and we're going to see how that made him this amazing judge, this amazing prophet and priest, a pillar in the Bible and a pillar in the formation of Israel as a nation. A lot of times we don't know what really we're up against or how we see things, and so I heard a story about a lady that was rushing through an airport. She bought a bag of cookies, and she was looking to sit down for 10 minutes before she caught her plane. And she's going to have a little snack and just like get ready, focus herself. She'd been running around all day. And so she sat down. There was a little corner place. And so there was a chair here, a corner table, and then her chair. And there was a guy that was sitting on the other side of the table from her. And she looked down, and there was a bag of cookies. And it was already open. And she's like, why'd this guy open my cookies? And she looked just in time to see this guy take a cookie and put it in his mouth. She's like, this guy not just opened my cookies, this guy just jacked one of my cookies. And so she's watching out of the corner of her eye, and the guy reaches down, grabs another one like this, and he looked over at her, and he smiles. She's like, oh my goodness. He puts a cookie in his mouth. He's like, ah. She's just fuming on the inside. And so she looks, and there's one cookie left. And she's like, oh, he better not get that cookie. So the guy kind of smiles at her, reaches down, breaks the cookie in half, puts half in his mouth, grabs his bag, and walks off and gets on the plane. The lady's like, I am so upset at this guy. He ate my cookies. He opened my cookies. He took half of my last cookie. She gets on the plane. She's looking through and going to turn her phone off, and she realizes she sees her bag of cookies. Yeah, she was eating his cookies. We don't always know the full of the story. But when we trust God, we may not end up eating somebody else's cookies. All right? Take that down. Write that down. If we trust God, no. You may end up eating somebody's cookies, and God will make it okay. All right? That guy, certainly, he was okay with it. Always happy to share. I'll be like the lady, you give me that, I'll spit it out right now. That's my cookie. Why am I like that, dear Lord? Here's a couple of things that Samuel, we can see. We're going to look at Saul's coming of age and inauguration. And we're going to look at Saul's disobedience with the Amalekites. And Lord willing, we're going to look at David's anointing, all showing how Samuel used the foundation and the gifts that God had given him to become the man of God and help other people. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. This is from 1 Samuel 10. Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt and delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected God who saved you out of your calamities and distress. And you have said, no, set a king over us. So now present yourselves before the Lord by tribes and clans. When Samuel brought all the tribes near Israel, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Machir's clan was chosen. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes, he has hidden himself among the baggage. So they ran out and brought him, and he stood among the people. He was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among the people. Then the people shouted, long live the king. Samuel explained to the people the regulations of kingship, and he wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people, each to his own home. What's happening here is this is basically the coronation, the inauguration of the first king of Israel. I am glad that Samuel knew how to hear God's voice. Because if you think about it, again, to not fairy taleize scripture, but what happened was we have a man of God hearing from God, right? And he basically calls the whole country together and says, hey, God has told me to anoint a king over all of you. That's pretty gutsy, right? Can you imagine the prayer time that would go into you finding and picking the next king or president? Right? I vote. I pray a lot about who I'm going to vote for. And I'm only one vote. Imagine having the responsibility of having to pick. Hopefully you hear from God, and Samuel's certainly been trained that way. So he was trained to hear the word of God, and because he was, God used him in a mighty way. Samuel warned against having a king, but the people said, we want a king anyways. And I told you, Samuel was the last judge, the judges of Israel, and then the time of the judges was kind of a theocracy. It's where God was kind of the king, right? And then something happened, the Israelites would get all stupid, and then one of their enemies would come in and invade them, and then they would enslave them, and then God would raise up a judge, and the judge would free him, and then they'd love God again, and then they would go back and forget about God. You know, it's just this cycle. When you read the book of Judges, you'll see this cycle of sin and salvation, sin and salvation. And so when the people said, we want a king, we want to be like the other nations around us, God said, it's not what I want, but it's what I'll allow. And so that's when Samuel comes in and says, I got it, God. And so it's a good thing Samuel knew how to talk to God and how to hear from God already, right? Samuel, God told Samuel to anoint Saul as king. Samuel heard from God about who to anoint. Samuel obeyed even though he didn't like what the people asked for. And God said, hey, this is what I want. And Samuel served the people faithfully just as he did Eli. Because he was a servant, because he already knew how to serve, he knew how to continue to serve God and to serve the people. It's a good thing that Samuel had these character qualities instilled in him from a young age in life. Let's look at another example. I'm going to call this one disobedience with the Amalekites. And I bet a lot of you guys have heard this story. It's from 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one Lord sent to anoint you king over his people of Israel. So now, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel, and they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, cattle and donkeys, camels and donkeys. So Samuel summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim. 200 foot soldiers and 10,000 men, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites so I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. Then he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all the people totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs. He spared everything that was good. These were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Isn't that like us? God says, sacrifice something, give something. And we're like, oh, Lord, you want me to give a vehicle to my next door neighbor? Okay, well, I know I got a nice truck, but I think he deserves that cruddy little bike I got. So, yes, Lord. Right? It's easier to give the junky stuff away, right? Oh, Lord, you can have my sin. Just don't take my good stuff, right? Don't make me cut off part of my personality, all right? Saul gets it. Verse 11, verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made King Saul, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instruction. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. Then he went up and set up a monument in his own honor and turned and gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instruction. But Samuel said, what is the bleating of sheep in my ear? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder. from the best that was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Ladies and gentlemen, obey God. Don't worry about the rest. Don't worry about making God look good. Don't worry about defending God. Just obey. That's it. We need to learn that right there, right? This is our foundation. We're learning because it's going to be a key. The foundation that we have in the past is going to be a key to our present that's going to unlock our future. Saul wanted to do things his way, and Samuel wanted to do things God's way. Saul wanted to serve God and man. Samuel even wrestled with God over Saul's demise, but in the end, he had to anoint a new king, which is King David. We don't really have time to go into that example, but let's just say this. Because Samuel knew the voice of the Lord, because Samuel knew obedience to God, because Samuel did not let any of God's words fall to the ground, Samuel was God's person. Samuel was able, not just in his personal life, to be a man of God, but in his professional or his ministry life, he was able to help a nation become a nation, become strong. He was able to inaugurate two kings because of the foundation that he had. He built on that. It built into the present, and it released into the future. Friends, I want to tell you that the same thing is happening today. You have your past. You have your foundation. It's been set. Whether you want to build on it or not is a totally different thing. I told you, good, bad, or other, you have a foundation that God will use to bring you to the present. And that will unlock your future. We're going to pray in just a little bit. It's going to take me a bit to kind of come to the place where we get to come forward in prayer. So our prayer partners are getting ready to come out anytime. I've talked to several of you, and you've asked me to pray. You've asked me to pray for your future and your ministry, and man, that is exciting. I've been doing it, and I believe God has got things for you that's going to blow your mind. Blow your mind. You just wait. Be patient and obey. There are other people in here today that you're going, Jack, I can't even pay attention to the future because my past is so jacked up. I need help. Well, here's the deal. God can't go back and change the past, but he can go back and change your mind. And he can change your heart, and he can allow you to forgive. Here's a word for somebody right now. You need to forgive those that hurt you in the past, because until you forgive those that hurt you, you cannot bring peace to your present. Amen. Amen. Please, let us pray with you. You need to be healed from the past. My shoestring got stuck. You need to get healed from the past because God wants to get you in the present. Some of you guys right now, you're going, man, I'm in the present. I'm ready to go, but I'm confused. I want to hear God, but sometimes I get kind of sideways. You know what? It's okay. No one's perfect. And if you're stuck in this cycle in the future and you just keep going, sin, salvation, that's okay, man. We're all guilty. But here's the deal. Something needs to happen today, and you need to go, I'm done with it. I'm sick of it. I'm going to draw a line in the sand right now, and I'm going to say, I'm going to serve God from here on out. I may not be perfect, but my mind is focused. All right? That needs to happen today for some of you. And then here's the deal. Some more of you are going, man, God, use me, use me, use me. God, I feel like Samuel sometime. Lord, give me another word. I got it, Lord. And you feel like you've just been in this cycle. You'd be like, God, I've done this so long. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. We're going to pray things into happening right now. All right? And we're going to say, maybe you need to be a little bit more patient. Maybe God has to move a couple things in place. But you know what? Keep your eye on the future. Keep your eye on the prize, because God wants to use you. God has got a plan for every one of you that will blow your mind. You have to get your mind around it. Would you stand? Would you stand? We're going to pray in just a second. And man, it's been a good day to be in church already, people. I'm telling you, man. Now, you know, we've had it already. Now it's dessert, okay? The rest is just dessert here on out. And I'm going to get you out of here in time. You can get out, be first in line for lunch, okay? So just be patient. I meant that, by the way, about if you need to take somebody out to lunch afterwards, man, fellowship is good stuff. Get you some of that, okay? Before I pray for past, present, and future, I want to pray this. I believe there are people here that have never given your life to Christ at all for the first time. You know what? It's no accident that you're here. Brother Darren introduced me to somebody, and I don't know if you're still here, but he introduced me to somebody that was, there are no accidents. Somebody picked up a hitchhiker. I don't remember where. And they dropped the hitchhiker off, guess where? Right in front of Valley Bible Fellowship. Yeah. He probably thought it was an accident, but it wasn't. And you know what else wasn't an accident? It wasn't an accident that you guys rallied around him, gave him a brand new pair of shoes, gave him a bag full of clothes. I saw a couple people giving the guy money because he's hitchhiking back to another state. And it's no accident that he's like overwhelmed. And man, if you're here, man, and I'm telling the story wrong, forgive me. This is like 30 seconds if I'm trying to get it. And he said, I want to start a Valley Bible pod. I want to start inviting my friends and family over and opening my computer on Sunday mornings, and I want to start a pod church right there in my different state. Is that odd? That's not an accident. That's not an accident, man. That stuff needs to happen. That stuff needs to be commonplace. All right? If you have one of those crazy relationships with God where you hear from him and you obey him, that stuff will happen. Ask Pastor Ron Vietti. All right? If you're here today, there are no accidents, and you're hearing this and you're like, man, I'm uncomfortable right now, thank the Lord, because today could be your day. If you have not received Christ into your life and you need to do that today, I want you to come forward. We're gonna pray in just a second. While I'm praying, I'm going to call you forward. Come pray with one of these amazing, awesome, intelligent, good-looking, trained men and women of God. Will you do that? Bow your heads with me, church.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.